Accession number 9304, Reel 3.
Admiral Salter, Reel 3.
Well, as I was saying, we went to action stations fairly quickly when these four E-boats arrived. And I'm afraid we, in the Jamaica, were a little bit too free with our four-inch guns at these things. But anyhow, we did, in the effect, sink three of them. When I say we, I mean the whole force did. And one of them escaped. And we picked up the crews of them, of course. And I saw the captain of one of the MTBs, and I said, why didn't you fire your torpedoes at us? We were a lovely target, as a matter of fact. I said, oh, you were so big. Which was a pretty stupid answer, really. But my own interpretation is, really, they weren't ready to, and then they hadn't got them ready. Each one had two torpedoes. Well, that was all right. We went on patrolling for a bit. And then the American Admiral Higgins in the Juno left, and I was left in charge of the party. And I was then told to practice interdiction, which means knocking down roads and bridges and things between North Korea and South Korea. And so I forget what the time space was between this and the that Sunday morning, but we went down the coast, down the east coast of South Korea, that is, trying to knock down the roads and the bridges and things like that. And we went pretty close inshore, because it was much easier then to see what we were doing and see the effect and to be more effective. We used our 6-inch guns for it. And we were just doing this quite happily and quite calmly, and suddenly we saw a gun firing from ashore. The North Koreans hadn't read the rules, obviously, because they brought a gun down and started firing at us, which we thought was most unfair. Anyhow, I turned round quick and went out to sea to get out of range, but not before they had just managed to graze my mainmast with one, I suppose it was a three-pounder or something of that sort. And that exploded over the upper deck, where I had a number of soldiers who were supposed to be on a joy cruise and some sailors manning anti-aircraft guns. And I regret to say that I think it was eight men were hit. And I think, I forget the actual numbers now, but I rather think five of my sailors were killed and three soldiers, which is extremely sad. And you might say it oughtn't to have happened, but they're all dressed in their tin hats and that sort of thing. And we were not expecting to be fired at.
Which units were they from, the soldiers?
Honestly, I don't know, but they came from Hong Kong, and they used to come to the fleet for having a sort of jolly, you see, and the idea was to go up to Aminato. And, of course, as we got them on board, they obviously wanted to be involved in it and employed. And so we put them on anti-aircraft guns, which was on the up deck, the boat deck. And that's how they happened to be hit by this this lot. As a matter of fact, at the time, on the bridge of the Jamaica, all the senior officers were sort of collected, watching the interdiction going on. And if that thing had hit the foremost instead of the mainmast, it would have really been rather disastrous, as a matter of fact. It was disastrous anyhow, but it would have been rather awful if we'd lost all the senior officers.
When was this, approximately?
When was what?
When did this incident occur?
It was about 4 or 5 days after the war started.
So June 1950.
Yeah. Mm. I could tell you the date if I looked it up, but I can't offhand, as a matter of fact.
It'll be in your diaries with our Department of
Yes,
it will.
Yes. Mm. And after that, as a matter of fact, we had to go back to Sasebo, and it was very hot weather. And so we buried them over the side, had a funeral service, which I'd also done, of course, in the Foresight after the Murmansk thing. As far as the Korean War was concerned after that, we used to do 2 days in harbour and about 8 to 10 days on patrol, either on the east coast or the west coast. And I usually had with me one or perhaps two destroyers, sometimes English, sometimes Dutch. Well, we had a mixture of all nationalities there. And as far as I remember, we didn't go to the east coast again. We went to the west coast, where we used to bombard an awful lot. And in the Jamaica, we always seemed to be the first to experience anything frightful. We were the first one to be fired on, but what I've just been talking about now. We ran into a lot of floating mines on one occasion, which was a bit hazardous, because if you get a floating mine, of course, if you hit it, it may go off. And they're entirely against the Geneva Convention. I had one destroyer with me then. He sighted a mine, and I sighted one all at the same time. And we both sank them, and then we turned very cautiously and went back out of the mining area. Danger there, of course, is at night. You can't see the things. And so the only way is to keep out of the area where they are, because a proper mine has to be tied by a string to the bottom, as you can imagine. If they're just chucked in indiscriminately so they float down, anything they run into may go off, may explode it.
This was the west coast?
West coast, yes, yeah. We also came on various horrors there too. Every now and then one would go through an area with a tremendous number of bodies floating about, most with their hands tied behind their back, and some with their hands tied together, who had obviously been, well, just drowned, I imagine, or else they'd been done to death first. There was no point in picking them up, because you couldn't do anything with them. One just tried to avoid running into them. But we came on several groups like that. It was a little bit gruesome.
Now, were they in uniform or civilians?
I think they were all civilian, as far as I remember. No uniform, anyhow. And then, of course, we had quite an exciting time in the landing at Incheon, which was an entirely American operation. We had two cruisers in that, Jamaica and Kenya, and there was an American called the Rochester, another cruiser was there too, and we had various frigates. This was later on, it was in July, very hot weather. Incidentally, during the whole of that war, we had a darkened ship, same as in wartime, and it did get incredibly uncomfortable and hot. And one used to read the English newspapers, which came out by air a couple of days late, that sort of thing. And it was a little bit galling to see that Ascot and Henley and everything else was going on, and not a mention of us having rather a poor time in Korea. And we did feel it a little bit. On the other hand, I suppose it's all right.
You were saying about the Incheon landings?
Yes. Well, at the Incheon landings, the idea was we went there, and we were there for bombarding. Going to Incheon, you go through up some very narrow channels with very strong tides coming through, and we did it all at night. It was a bit hazardous, actually. The first time we went there, we did not anchor at all. We just kept the ships steady, more or less, on the engines. Because we were afraid of mines, for one thing. And we went in at low water, deliberately, so that if there were any mines, they'd be floating, because there was a rise and fall of between 20 and 30 feet. And so the mines which were intended to hit one would be floating on the surface at low water. And I don't think we saw any, actually, but they were probably there somewhere. And then after the first day, when a lot of bombarding had happened in order to soften up the defences ashore, we went out again, more or less out to sea, away from Incheon anyhow, came back the next day, and anchored. There were five, I think it was, American destroyers, which went up the river which was facing the landing place at Incheon, and they anchored there, and they came in for very heavy fire from the shore. Actually, they didn't suffer many casualties. I think they had one man killed out of the whole lot. We were out of range of that lot, and all the three cruisers did was to bombard. And during the Korean War, we fired far more 6-inch shells than ever had been fired by the Jamaica during the war, because we did so much bombarding. North Koreans had 2 aircraft. I was sent up by myself on one occasion, by myself meaning Jamaica only, on the east coast to bombard a place called, this may be wrong, Chinampo, I think it was. Anyhow, it's a fairly large place on the east coast, just north of the 38th parallel. And we did bombard it. And I think our bombarding was fairly effective because of the number of sparks and things that flew from the power station rather showed that it must have been. Now, I thought, after that we should be chased by the 2 North Korean aircraft. And so when we'd finished doing what we were doing, we didn't delay going south again. However, nothing happened at all there. This was fairly soon after the beginning of the war. Incheon landing, as I say, was some weeks later. And after the Incheon landing, on about the second day after the landing, when we were at anchor off Incheon, taking considerable precautions against one-man torpedoes and things like that, one morning the 2 aircraft appeared. One of them dropped a bomb on the Rochester, the American cruiser, which did nothing at all, didn't hit it, but I mean the Rochester herself did nothing at all. And then they came on, we opened fire because we happened to be at action stations deliberately, and they came on to attack us. We were at anchor, as I said, and all I personally could do was to cower behind the rather inadequate steel plate on the foreside of the bridge. Meantime, we were being shot at with cannon, which was very unpleasant, as a matter of fact. But my port pom-pom gun it had a crew of 3, and they were very good, and they brought one of these aircraft down. And it was coming straight at us, and just as it got to the stem of the ship, it sheered away to port and dived into the sea, and I need hardly say it was a grateful cheer from the ship's company. But I did have one unfortunate boy who was badly hit. We got him to a hospital ship pretty quickly, and he did die. But and a number of holes in the ship, but otherwise no casualties or damage. That was about the whole extent of our damage in the Korean War, but it was quite exciting.
You said that the North Koreans only had these 2 planes, but did the Chinese have planes?
None came while I was there, no. I think they must have later on, because the Korean War went on about 3 years, didn't it?
Yes.
I was only there for about 3 or 4 months. It's quite enough, too. But, what was I going to say?
You give the impression that in describing what you did during the Korean War, that the opposition was not really all that formidable.
No, it wasn't. Absolutely true. And insofar as the air was concerned, it was virtually nil. We did have one destroyer was hit by a bomb, actually. And one might have been at any time. But we spent most of our time bombarding. And we used usually to have a chap in the army, our own army, was ashore as a forward observation officer, which is very useful because we could then check exactly where our rounds were falling.
Did you get much impression of the calibre of the American Navy and their operations off Korea?
Frankly, no. One always regards them being the same sort of thing as ourselves. And they were doing the same sort of jobs, but you see, we were split up in little groups, and so one didn't see them much. We had quite a number of ships, sir. Well, we had about the Belfast, several frigates, several destroyers, Jamaica and Kenya. I was saying, as a matter of fact, that when we were attacked initially on the first day by these E-boats, that we in the Jamaica had fired far more 4-inch than we ought to have. I sent an immediate signal after that saying I wanted some more. And I had a leisurely signal from whoever it was at the Admiralty, virtually saying they were sending some more out by parcel post. But in fact, the Kenya had just come out, and she hadn't worked herself up for this sort of thing. And so we embarked an awful lot of her 4-inch, and she had to wait for some more later on.
You mentioned the survivors you picked up from the MTBs who attacked you. About how many did you pick up? Was it just a handful?
No, just a handful, yes. I should say it wasn't more than about 3 or 4. Honestly, I'm not quite sure. In fact, I'm not sure.
What kind of condition did they seem to be in when you...
Oh, they're all right. Wet, that's all. And rather surprised, I think, at being sunk. And as I say, this extraordinary statement, we were so big so they couldn't fire torpedoes at us, it's always made me laugh ever since.
What was their demeanour? Was it subdued or defiant or what?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just what you would expect it to be, really. They wouldn't be defiant in conditions like that, would they? And they were quite happy to be interrogated and to talk quite naturally, insofar as one could talk to them, because, of course, they couldn't talk English, and we couldn't talk Korean. In this Korean War, I had on board a very good correspondent. I could get his name at the moment, I've forgotten it, from the Daily Express and Sunday Express. And he was most cooperative. If he wanted to send any messages, he always brought them to me before he sent them off. He was going to send them by my wireless anyway. But he always brought them. And if I said I didn't like this, that, or the other, he used to take it out. He was very helpful.
What type of things would you want cut out?
At the moment, honestly, don't quite know. But he might have said things that I thought were sort of... shouldn't have been said because they were secretive, something of that sort, or should have been kept secret.
You mean giving away military information?
Yes, that sort of thing, yes. If he was doing anything like that, but I don't think he would have, but if he had, I should have certainly have stopped him. I mean, positions of ships, what ships were there, and that sort of thing. He gave us the reputation of being the first ship in everything, which we were, more or less, as I said just now, as a matter of fact. There's one very amusing thing comes into this, which has nothing to do with the Korean War, really, except that it is. The captain of the Kenya was a chap called Brock. And he and I used to get together quite a lot, and we were both involved, as I told you, in the landing at Incheon. And we were both given an American award of the Bronze Star Medal. Well, this, of course, appeared in the Sunday Express. And my dear mama at home got a copy of it, and she found a picture of Brock labelled Captain J.S.C. Salter. When I got home, my dear mama showed me this picture and said, "Look, dear, here's a picture of you." And I said, "Mum, it's not me at all, it's Brock." "Oh, my dear, it must be you. It says so in the paper." I never forgot that. And it very clearly was not.